I'm Betty Lou, and this is In the Loop.
How do you feel that you've learned anything new about the crisis?
Are you confident that you're able to grow the top line?
Are we taking on too much?
Now, I've got to ask these questions because that is what people want to know.
In the Loop, weekdays, 8 a.m. on Bloomberg Television.
This is Bloomberg, the first word for this Wednesday, October 27th, 2010. Good morning. I'm Ken Pruitt at Bloomberg World Headquarters in New York. Our guest is Jeffrey Yu, currency strategist at UBS in London. Jeffrey, good morning.
Good morning.
One of our top stories this morning has to do with Asian leaders meeting in Hanoi this week for talks that could center on calls for China to accelerate gains in its currency. The latest such call, is it all going to work?
I don't think so. If the U.S. can't even pressure China into appreciating at a faster pace, it's highly unlikely that association of the Southeast Asian nations could. But what China's actually been trying to do is work with these regions and bypass the dollar altogether. For example, it's trying to allow settlements in CNY with these countries from select Chinese ports, signing a full range of free trade agreements. So this way, none of these nations will have significant dollar exposure, and also it helps China's internationalization process for their own currency. So they probably have a different agenda from what the Treasury in the U.S. is thinking about.
Well, suppose all these currencies or all these countries that are trying to lean on China to lower its currency actually do something about it. Would that work?
Well, it depends on how you define do something about it. If, let's say, there's a global push towards sanctioning China along the lines of what the U.S. does, then it may be too painful for China to bear in the short term. But China's got its own tools as well. For example, the current dispute between China and Europe and the U.S. over export restrictions of rare earths, it's a sign that China just doesn't want to be pushed around anymore by the West, and it will flex its own muscles as necessary. If we do get, tit-for-tat, retaliation, it's just not good for the global economy, so everyone's trying to avoid it.
So what happens?
I think all sides will just try to chug along at this stage. We do know that the U.S. Has an election coming through. If there's a currency bill against China, then this could destabilize things significantly. But that, in our view, is like a low probability event right now. They'll try to form a consensus over the coming quarters. China will agree to, let's say, 5 to 8% appreciation against the dollar on an annual basis, while doing a bit more against the other Asian currencies.
Will that be enough to keep everybody happy?
Well, they'll just have to accept it, I guess.
Okay, but did you see that happening? Is it this year, next year?
I think next year China will allow its currency to appreciate a bit more, and the rest of the world will grudgingly accept. They'll just try to meet halfway in between. I think ideally, from China's point of view, they'll want about 5% appreciation. The U.S. wants a lot more, so at the end of the day, we'll probably see, we're between 8 to 10%-ish.
Jeffrey, one of our top stories this morning, British Prime Minister David Cameron's once-in-a-generation budget gamble is paying off for now. As the economy's unexpected strength eases investors' qualms over the risk of a renewed recession, is that the way it's going to play out? And will sterling outpace the euro and the dollar and other currencies?
Well, it's a bit hard to tell right now. If we have a look at today's gilt syndication, for example, the order book's very strong, so it's a certain sign of investor confidence right now. But in the longer term, we know that these cuts are awfully difficult to price in because they're spread across 5 years and different implementation stages. Now, from the Bank of England's point of view, they're preferring to err on the side of caution. Sterling may be firm right now, but if the BOE prefers to do more QE or stress downside risks to CPI and the like, then it's possible that sterling won't be able to sustain current gains. On the other hand, we've got structural problems in the eurozone. The US may be about to do more quantitative easing, so that will provide a layer of support for sterling against these major currencies. But if you compare UK to like Switzerland or Australia or other economies, you probably want to be elsewhere rather than sticking to the UK right now.
Well, I wanted to ask you about the Federal Reserve. What are you looking for?
UBS is looking for a new QE program of up to $980 billion spread across 5 quarters. We think the market is priced in anywhere between 500 to 600 right now. I think a lot will depend on the implementation, because if you, let's say, front-load a lot of the QE, do $500 billion in 1 quarter, then this may be enough to alleviate deflation pressures and boost the economy such that you don't need to do the rest. So I'm less concerned about big numbers right now, more about the implementation. I think the Fed needs to front-load it, but it's apparent that the FOMC is a bit more divided on the matter than usual. So we'll see what happens when they actually decide next week.
Jeffrey Yu, currency strategist at UBS in London. Our guest is Adam Cole, head of global currency strategy at Royal Bank of Canada Europe in London. Adam, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, just a couple of days ago, the euro was over $1.40. Now it's heading for $1.38. What's behind that?
It's essentially shifting expectations on what we'll get from the Fed in terms of quantitative easing. There's still a general expectation we will get some announcement on quantitative easing at the November FOMC, but I think the consensus is shifting towards a rather more piecemeal approach and the Fed not aggressively buying securities, but rather a sort of piecemeal approach whereby it announces meeting by meeting what it's likely to do in terms of asset purchases. That diminishing expectation for the aggressiveness of QE is supporting the dollar, essentially.
Well, what sort of dollar amount are you looking for?
We think between $500 billion in total, spread over a period of at least 6 months. And I suspect the consensus is around that range, towards perhaps the lower end of that range.
Well, you know, between $500 billion and $1 trillion, that's a pretty big gap.
Yes, it is, and I think that reflects the uncertainty that there is going into the FOMC meeting. And whilst that overhang of uncertainty remains, I think it's probably too early to conclude that the dollar has actually bottomed, and we may well see euro-dollar testing higher if expectations drift back up again towards the top of that range. What I would stress, however, is I think that the by far the largest part of the QE impact in the foreign exchange markets happens on the announcement or on the building of expectations for the announcement. Once the meeting's out of the way, then I think there is every chance the dollar does recover part of its losses in the way it did in 2009 when we had the first tranche of quantitative easing.
Okay, well, it's kind of hard to price in an estimate with a gap that big.
Yes, it is, and that I think does drive the volatility that we've seen in markets over recent sessions as the expectations ebb and flow on what the Fed might do. And although, as I say, the expectation is clear that they will do something, there is still a great deal of uncertainty of exactly the form it will take.
Well, the euro at $1.38.39 right now. Take us through the next 12 months or so. What do you see happening?
I think in the very near term, we trade around 140, and there may well be periods we break back above 140 again. Once the air clears, once the FOMC meeting is out of the way, then I think we see a more material move down in euro dollar. Going out into the early part of 2011, I think there's every risk the issues in the periphery of the eurozone itself come back onto the agenda, in particular if markets start to fret about Spain as well as issues in Portugal, Ireland, Greece, then I think we might well see the risk premium the euro carries beginning to rise again. So heading into 2011, I think the downtrend in euro dollar reestablishes itself, and we move back down into the 120s, conceivably, as 2011 progresses.
Down to the 120s.
Indeed. So a fairly material move down from here. And I'd stress that at those kind of levels, we're merely converging back towards fair value rather than overshooting to the downside.
Well, you know, is it harder to predict now that we have, you know, quantitative easing on the way from the Fed? At least that's what most people think. And at the same time, we have austerity budgets in the UK and on the continent.
Yes, indeed, and it's almost as if you have an ugly contest going on between the majors. As you highlight, the fiscal tightening in the eurozone, the quantitative easing in the US, the Bank of Japan, we still think may well revert to intervention to weaken the yen, and it's easy to point out the negatives for all of the major currencies. For me, however, the negative for the dollar, the quantitative easing that overhangs it, is really something which plays out very quickly, and it plays out with the announcement rather than the implementation of the policy. So I think if there's a currency where the negative might be removed in the relatively near term, that for me is still the dollar amongst the majors, and for that reason I think we are in the final stages of the negative trend.
Adam, what about the situation in France? Is the government going to cave in on that plan to raise the retirement age and ease its pension costs?
Seems unlikely, and the impact of that on markets has been actually relatively muted, and we've seen markets not really fretting about political risk in Europe in the way they were 3 or 4 months ago, which I think is unlikely to remain the case. So even if the French government forces through the pension reform, as it probably will, will do. The political issues are unlikely to go away. What I would say again, however, is I think this is likely to blow up much more substantially in 2011 than it is in the current year, when the fiscal tightening really starts to bite in the peripheral countries, which as yet it hasn't really done so.
Well, you know, as we see things from here in the U.S., people in the U.K. seem to be taking it, right? The austerity budget, and there doesn't seem to be that much negative public reaction.
No, that's certainly the case to the announcement of the cuts. And I think in the early stages that will probably remain the case, as although the budget cuts in the UK are cumulatively very, very large, in the near term they're quite manageable. And I think I would see the first stages of the cuts that come through in the next 12 months as really trimming off the fat, and we don't really get to dig into the flesh until we get into the second, third, fourth tranches of budget cuts. So I think that probably will remain the case, that the cuts will be tolerable in the early stages. It gets much more painful as we get into the out years.
What is the forecast for sterling, Adam? Right now, $1.5854.
Sterling, I think, looks pretty good, actually, but my tendency would be to play it on the crosses rather than against the dollar. To the extent that I have a relatively positive view on both sterling and the dollar, I think cable, therefore, probably remains quite range-bound around current levels. So my inclination would be to play a positive sterling story versus the euro rather than versus the dollar. I think that the market in the UK probably is still wrongly attaching quite a high probability to additional quantitative easing from the Bank of England. I don't think we'll get that, and I think that's essentially going to be off the agenda now until we get the next quarterly GDP number in late January. So I would see sterling unwinding the premium it's built in as that QE risk diminishes.
Adam Cole, head of global currency strategy, Royal Bank of Canada Europe, on the line from London. This is Bloomberg, the first word on Bloomberg Radio.
Copyright Bloomberg LP 2010.